Welcome back to The Morning Blend. As we continue on, here is our weekly segment dedicated to American Catholic history. As we welcome back our teachers, Tom and Noelle Crow, with more great stories of how Catholic Americans contributed to our nation by virtue of their faith. And today, more modern-day blessed, as today we'll be talking about Stanley Rother. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do we know about Stanley Rother? Other than Oklahoma, that state always sticks out in my mind, and I think he was martyred when he was doing some missionary work. But I'm sure there's much more to the story than that. I hope I haven't spoiled it for anybody.
No.
Missionary work in Guatemala.
That's
actually,
right.
Yes.
Is where he was murdered. But before that, he started life in Oklahoma farmland.
Okarchi.
That's right, Okarchi, Oklahoma, in 1935.
Mm-hmm. Came in his birth. He was the oldest of four. Grew up working on the farm. And this is long before all kinds of mechanized stuff. So he grew up working a farm. And it served him well when he got to Guatemala.
He had a pretty typical childhood, I think. Went to Catholic school, served in his parish, worked on the farm, played sports.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a typical Catholic boy, farm boy upbringing, really. And it wasn't until high school that he began to discern a call to the priesthood.
Yeah, and he went to seminary there in Oklahoma, but it didn't quite work out. They still insisted on learning Latin really well, and he just couldn't get it. He had a bit of a curé of ars thing going on here. he just could not hack the Latin. They kept trying, but after a few years, they said, okay, this is, you're not priest material because you can't hack the Latin. So then a little bit after that, the bishop sent him to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which is where I was a seminarian for 3 years. Wonderful seminary. And this is actually where I became familiar with him originally, because there's, from the main seminary building going into one of the dormitory wings that's attached, there's a breezeway, a monk walk or anyway, and hanging on the walls on one of the floors, there's a series of pictures of Father Rother with some memorabilia from him. This is before he was beatified when I saw it. So I didn't know his name. I always wondered who these pictures were. And then I found out who he was and started learning about his story, and just incredible. But yeah, so he was at Mount St. Mary's, and apparently they didn't worry about the Latin quite so much, because he did graduate. And he was ordained in 1963, a priest for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, so he returned to Oklahoma and, served in parishes there for 5 years, but felt this calling to be a missionary.
Yeah.
And apparently the Oklahoma diocese did actually have a mission in Guatemala.
In Santiago de Atitlan.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was among a bunch of natives. So he petitioned to become a missionary, and they said, sure. Now, again, he had struggled with Latin. He certainly didn't learn Spanish while he was in seminary, but he just felt this severe call to be a missionary, and he followed it, and the bishop agreed. So they sent him down there, and he just fell in love. Took him a little while. It took him a couple years, but he learned both Spanish, and he learned very difficult local dialects of the natives called Tsutuhiu. And within a few years, he even worked through it enough to translate the New Testament into this dialect.
Wow.
Yeah, and they still use his translation down there. It's a major thing. They had a copy of it in a display case at Mount St. Mary's.
The people of the... Can we let Tom say that again?
Tsutuhiu.
Yes.
Bless you.
I know. They were very poor. Most of them lived in one-room huts. They did not have... They farmed, but didn't have a lot of land. Them, each of them had a really small plot. So this is, as Tom was saying, Stanley Rother, Father Rother's farming experience really came into play here. He was able to help them with their farming, to develop an irrigation system for them.
Yeah, he brought in a lot of more modern techniques that they could adapt to their own system to really help them. So he went down there as a spiritual father to bring the sacraments, but he also was able to bring his farming expertise. Mm-hmm. He taught catechism. He taught mathematics. He also had a radio spot, so he would get on the radio and do evangelization through radio. So he did so much for these people, and he was just there to help them whatever way. Unfortunately, the backdrop that he was doing all this, There, a civil war had been raging in Guatemala, as in much of Central America, since 1960, where you had this, you know, far right wing dictator who sort of ruled the country. Then you had left wing socialist militias who were trying to oust the dictatorial regime. So there was a lot of fighting between them. And a lot of the natives got caught in the crosshairs because they didn't like what the socialists were selling, but they also just wanted to be left alone. Right. So they didn't want to be pulled in either direction. And this was also the church's official stance. The church was trying to stay completely neutral in this. But of course, the government was saying, no, we're providing the law and order. You've got to support us. But then, so the church was staying neutral, but that didn't sit well with the government authorities.
And the socialists didn't really like
Socialists didn't like the church either,
right?
Yeah.
So you're in a bad spot there.
Father Rother was caught in between, and part of he saw a lot of his farmers, his parishioners, who ran afoul of one side or the other, disappear, and sometimes their body would arrive the next morning brutalized on the in front of their own house or on his doorstep, his rectory doorstep, kind of as a sign to, hey, this can happen to you too. Father Rother was told many times, hey, they're probably going to come for you. But he's like, I believe the quote is, the shepherd cannot run at the first sign of trouble. He wrote back when people were writing to him saying, you've got to leave. And he's like, no, these are my people. I've got to stay. It wasn't until he said, I will not leave unless I'm ordered to. Well, that order finally came in 1980. His bishop wrote to him and said, no, you've got to come back because your name has been found on a government hit list. You are number 8.
Whoa.
So his bishop ordered him back to Oklahoma. So he went back in July of 1980 to Oklahoma, went back to his family farm, helped out at masses locally, but he just couldn't stay. So he went back to his bishop and requested permission to return to Guatemala. And his bishop, fully knowing what he was facing.
Right.
And his bishop reluctantly agreed to let him go back. And it was July 20th, 1981. He went to bed. Well, he went to bed on July 27th, and in the early hours of the morning, July 28th, 1981, a group of gunmen entered the rectory, and they forced a youth who was staying there, because he had changed. He was changing which room he was staying in, so they couldn't just track him. Like, we know which room he's in. They forced a youth who was staying there to tell him, "Where's Father? Where's the priest? And we'll kill you if you don't tell us." So he led them to Father's room. Now, Father was a big Oklahoma farm boy.
Right.
He was not one of these he was not a small person. He was able to struggle with them. They wanted to drag him away and do what they'd done to others, but he was having none of that. And he said the people who were in the building heard him say, "Shoot me here." And they did. They shot him twice in the head and they fled. And he bled to death if he wasn't already dead. When he was found by one of the other priests in the building, he was lying in a pool of his own blood. The sisters who came knelt down and prayed next to his body. One of them actually ladled
blood
into a jar for preservation.
Oh.
Ever since then, every year on that anniversary, Mass is offered in that room where he was martyred.
Mm-hmm. So his body was brought back to Oklahoma, but in Guatemala, in the village, they requested that his heart stay there where it had been. And so his heart and that blood is still in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. The rest of his body is in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
His cause for canonization was opened in 2007. In 2016, Pope Francis declared him a martyr of the faith, and he was beatified shortly after that. So now he is...
Blessed
Stanley Rother.
And then... And there's a massive church. The shrine of Blessed Stanley Rother was opened in just south of Oklahoma City, just a few years ago. It's a big, beautiful church. I'm sure they're planning on changing the first word there from Blessed
right.
the Saint at some point, not just the future. But yeah, so he's just an amazing story of absolute dedication to the mission. Somebody who just it's not about me. It's about saving souls. Incredible witness.
If people want to learn more about what you guys do or some more of these great stories, where can they find you?
You can find us at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.